Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs listening live at the home of the Gregory Neesmith Show, WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. As always, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, and it's time to do what we do every week, explore how underdogs get our swagger back in today's society and culture. And we do it from all the unangles, the unavoidable, the unbelievable, the unjust, the underrated, the unsaid, and a bunch of underdog stuff. And as always, topics inspired by our personal lives, by pop culture, and, you know, a pinch of politics. And we like to talk about some old stuff to put things in context as we talk about the current stuff. With that, today's a special show for a couple reasons. It's episode 90. Can think about some things you've done 90 times. We've done this 90 weeks together every Sunday, noon to 1 p.m. Grateful. And we'll call today's episode The Remix. The Remix. Remix. I just had to play that. And what I mean by the remix, we're going to talk about Clarence Thomas, sibling rivalries, burgers, and hip-hop. And I guarantee it may sound like an eclectic mix of topics, but it'll all make sense before we get out of here, because there's some things that have been remixed about those topics or those stories that bring the past to today's present. With that, shout out to Tony, who says, "Let's go, Gregory." And I say, "Let's go, Tony." And shout out to Daniel, who says, "Nice moves." I'm talking about my dancing while the theme music's playing. And he says hello, and I say hello back to you. Appreciate you both for stopping in. And let's get into it. Today's episode, number 90. Woo, crazy. We'll talk about Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, which fast forward gets us to Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. We'll also talk about the remix around sibling rivalries. There's some folks who are having a very public spat between siblings and politics, and we'll talk about it. White Castle's in the news. They're doing some remixing around their burgers. They're known for burgers, and they're doing a remix to the burgers. And then we'll end with the underdog spotlight of the week, which has to do with one of my favorite music genres, hip-hop. Hip-hop started out in the park. Give a quick special announcement, though. Today is a special show, and it's with Mixed Emotions. Today's a special show. I just want to let you know that the station, WHCR, is going to be going through some renovations in October and November, so the station is going to be closed, which means no live show every Sunday for the next couple months. We won't get to do this like this for a couple months. I'll be taking a little break while the station takes a break, and hopefully be back around the holidays, but wanted to give you that heads up. With that, let's get into the unavoidable news as we get into episode 90, the remix, Clarence Thomas, sibling rivalries, burgers, and hip-hop. I promise it'll all make sense before we get out of here. You know, I think it's oftentimes said, I think the saying goes, the faces change, but the stories stay the same. And I used to think to myself, that saying can't be true, right? Don't we learn as we go? Don't we get better with time? Hopefully, as the faces change, I want the stories to change, right? I don't want to be in a place where history keeps repeating itself over and over again, especially if it's not a good history, not an uplifting one, not a positive one, not an inspiring one. And I know we've been talking a lot, both on the previous show and just it's been the buzz of the country. What's going on with Brett Kavanaugh? What's going on with Professor Christine Blasey Ford? What's going to happen? Who do you believe? Who's lying? When are they testifying? Is this uncharted territory? Have we not been here before? What do we do? We don't know what to do. This seems like an unfortunate situation, something that we just don't have any experience in happening, right? We just don't know. And what I want to do before we jump into today's topic is just give us a little context about what's happening right now has unfortunately happened before and is unfortunately playing out kind of the same way it did 27 years ago, because 27 years ago, there was a professor who wanted to stay anonymous and gave accounts of sexual misconduct by a man who was in the process of looking to become the next Supreme Court justice in 1991. And I put the year on the end because you might have thought I was describing what's happening in 2018, because the similarities are just disturbing, actually, how similar this is. And then back in 1991, this woman who was talking to the FBI and wanted to remain anonymous, the story she told about the sexual misconduct of then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Justice, those FBI interviews got leaked to the public. And then Joe Biden, who most folks know now as the former vice president of the United States, working with Barack Obama, who was the president, the 44th president, back then Joe Biden was the head of the Judiciary Committee, and he actually requested that this woman who wanted to be kept out of the limelight, requested that she would come testify only a few days before Clarence Thomas was actually supposed to be voted on whether or not he would become a Supreme Court justice. Does this story sound like eerily similar to what's going on right now? And so whether she wanted to or not, it became almost like her civic duty to tell her story about a very traumatizing experience of sexual harassment that happened over a period of time that she alleged Anita Hill did of Clarence Thomas. And the FBI would investigate it, and it would all come to a head, so to speak, at Senate hearings. And here's a little snippet of some of the testimony given by, at that time, Anita Hill, and then also Clarence Thomas, interviewed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, which at the time, all the Republicans on that committee happened to be men. And has much changed 27 years later? Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee is still on the Republican side, all men. There actually are more women now, at least on the Democratic side. I believe there's 4 women on the Senate Judiciary Committee who happen to be Democrat, and was only 2 back then. But this is a little bit of what was said during those hearings.
This is a circus. It's a national disgrace.
He looked at the can and asked, "Who has put pubic hair on my coat?"
"I don't think I should be here today."
On other occasions, he referred to the size of his own penis as being larger than normal.
"I don't think that this inquisition should be going on."
He also spoke on some occasions of the pleasures he had given to women with oral sex.
Whew, I can't imagine, or I mean, I can imagine that it must have been difficult, and I think Anita Hill has said this, that to come say such personal and graphic things in front of literally the world. I believe the trial or the hearing was televised, and having to be put on the spot. And similar to how Dr. Professor Christine Blasey Ford is being criticized and attacked, folks attacked Anita Hill back then too. They said, "This couldn't have happened. If it did, she would have left and got another job. This couldn't have happened. I remember one time she drove Clarence Thomas to the airport. This couldn't have happened. She would have said something a long time ago." And you hear some of that same accusations today, in today's case. And the question I have for you underdogs out there is, you have someone, fast forward to today, who's made a credible accusation in Ms. Ford against Brett Kavanaugh. And you have Brett Kavanaugh, who denied that it happened, and in the system we live in, he's innocent until proven guilty. And my question is, what do you think is going to happen? While there are a lot of similarities in these two cases, some would say there is a big difference. There's now a Me Too movement. Some would say it's now the year of the woman. So of course, that's going to make a difference. Will it? Will it make a difference? We haven't heard the testimony from Brett Kavanaugh or Ms. Christine Blasey Ford yet. But again, let's rewind to when Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas basically got into a he said or she said in front of the world. And this was the closing argument from Anita Hill. And then here's the closing argument from Clarence Thomas.
He talked about pornographic materials. On several occasions, Thomas told me graphically of his own sexual prowess.
"Senator, I would like to start by saying unequivocally, uncategorically, that I deny each and every single allegation against me today. As far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching."
And that's Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. Again, eerily similar 27 years ago to what's unfolding right now. Maybe we haven't made that much progress. One of the questions that in topics we talked about in Let Your Voice Be Heard, the show I was just on, was, is the Me Too movement going to be a difference maker? Is that movement, is that new wave in the culture of that women get to come forward, they get to be given the benefit of the doubt, then those who they accuse are innocent and proved guilty, then we do due process and then we figure it out. Is the Me Too movement going to be the momentum that allows us to play out more fairly this time than maybe it did last time? Let me know. Joe Biden, who I mentioned, who was part of the Senate Judiciary Committee back when Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas situation was happening, had this to say, fast forward to 27 years later, about now another similar situation between Ms. Ford and Mr. Kavanaugh.
She should not have to go through what Anita Hill went through. The woman should be given the benefit of the doubt and not be abused again by the system.
We'll see, Joe. So far, I wouldn't say that that seems to be how it's playing out. And, you know, for those who've been wondering, because I've been thinking to myself, you know, why doesn't this just play out the way it's supposed to be? Ms. Ford makes an accusation. Brett Kavanaugh gets to deny it, state his case. She can be a credible accuser. He's innocent until proven guilty. We do an investigation. You have a hearing. And then we come to some type of result, right? That seems like the logical thing that should happen, but it's not. Republicans are jumping to the end. Democrats are jumping to their end. If you're wondering why maybe Republicans seem to be so gung-ho about, yo, this is going to happen. Brett Kavanaugh's going to be on the Supreme Court. It could be because a lot of their supporters actually still think Brett Kavanaugh should be on the Supreme Court. I'm about to play a clip of CNN did some focus groups and interviews with some women who are Trump supporters, live in Florida. And this is what they had to say about this situation.
A show of hands, how many of you believe Judge Kavanaugh when he says this didn't happen?
I believe him.
I believe him.
How can we believe the word of a woman of something that happened 36 years ago when this guy has an impeccable reputation? And there was nobody that has spoken ill will about him. Everyone that speaks about him, this guy's an altar boy, you know, a scout. He's, you know, because one woman made an allegation. Sorry, I don't buy it.
But in the grand scheme of things, my goodness, there was no intercourse. There was maybe a touch. Can we really, 36 years later, she's still stuck on that? Had it happen?
I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old girl, which I respect. You know, I'm a woman, I respect. And we're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school? Please, I would like to know.
Those are Americans. Those are women. Those are Republican women. Those are Floridians. And one of the women says, you know, what boy hasn't done what Brett Kavanaugh is accused of doing, shoving a woman into a room or a teenager into a room, and when they were both teenagers, and being accused of putting his hand over her mouth and jumping on top of her. I would say when the woman in that interview says, what boy hasn't done that? I would say most boys and men haven't done that. But that's the climate we're living in. And you know, I've often heard people say things like, all white people are racist. And I wouldn't go as far to say that. I would say a lot of our American institutions are racist. And some people might go as far to say all men are sexist and capable of things like this. And I would go to say, well, that's not true, but our culture is sexist. And it's kind of hard not to at least believe that when you hear some of those comments. And I'll just play one more clip just to give you, again, some context of this is what our fellow citizens are saying about this whole situation. You want to know why the Republicans are still all in on Brett Kavanaugh? Because a lot of their supporters are saying things like this.
Does something that allegedly happened some 30 plus years ago matter today?
You can't judge the character of a man based on what he did at 17.
And I would hate to think that 30, 40 years later, somebody's going to destroy your life because somewhere at some party, it's not right, but maybe you touched somebody the way you were
and
not supposed to.
And who brought the alcohol for these kids?
As women, though, do you have some sympathy for her, for what she's going through?
No, I have no sympathy. And perhaps maybe she, at that moment she liked him, and maybe he didn't pay attention to her afterwards, and he went out with another girl, and she got bitter, or whatever the situation is. They're kids.
If it is true, would it be okay with you if he became a justice on the Supreme Court?
As long as that's an isolated incident, yes.
He was 17. He was not even an adult. And we all make mistakes at 17. I believe in a second chance.
I'd be more than okay with him being Supreme Court judge.
If the person made a mistake and they've moved on and they have been a good human being, you know, who are we to judge?
Well, now, underdogs, is the Me Too movement going to be the difference between Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas yesterday to now fast forward to today, 27 years later, Ms. Ford and Mr. Kavanaugh? Is the difference that we're in a new climate, a new America? Or will things play out kind of the same way they did 27 years ago and Clarence Thomas was voted in to become a Supreme Court justice, 52-48, I believe, in the U.S. Senate back in 1991. I'll let you know my thoughts on that after we get to this caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Gregory. It's Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan, talk to me. And actually,
I'm going to miss you.
I was about to say, how am I? I got mixed emotions because literally, the station's taking a break for about 2 months. And so this is how I spend my Sundays. And part of that includes talking to you.
Yeah.
So
not nice.
No. But renovations happen and that stuff.
Okay.
Got to do that. And then we'll be back around the holidays. So, we're coming back. It's just, they got to, fix some things around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I was going to say something and then you play this. It doesn't surprise me because these are the women that give birth to these monsters and raise them. These are the ones that will stop children from buying water on the street because they want to raise extra money to go to Disney World. These are the people that will raise people to stop people from having barbecues. These are the people who will raise men and women and decide that they're going to shoot somebody in their backyard while they're having a barbecue with their family. You understand?
Yeah.
To me, they sound worse than the men.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I played it.
There's an evilness, and it has not ever gone away. People choose to turn the other way because, oh, well, they're women. It's interesting. Being black, why is it that when things are broken down, it's men, women, and minorities?
Yeah.
Cease to become a person. You cease to be a man. You cease to become a woman until they need your head count. And then all of a sudden, we become human beings.
Yes.
What's the guy's name down south? Moore? If it weren't for black women, he would be there.
So, and actually, let me say something about what you just said. So I was on the show before this one called Let Your Voice Be Heard. And one of the questions was, is the Me Too movement going to be the difference maker, right? Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas happened 27 years ago, but it wasn't that type of climate. It wasn't the year of the woman. We weren't as evolved as we are now, right? That's what the word is on the street. And then I tell folks, I'm going, I don't think the Me Too movement is going to have anything to do with this, because if we talk politics, to your point, I'm going to bring it back to your Roy Moore point. Donald Trump is still the president during the time of the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Senate, the Congress folks have a secret fund that they can settle sexual harassment cases with that we don't get to hear about. And supposedly two people who've done that are still actively congressmen. For all we know, they could be on the Judicial Committee interviewing this woman next week. And then last but not least, to your point, folks go, well, Me Too movement, it's new time, it's 2018. The Me Too movement didn't stop Roy Moore. Black women stopped Roy Moore.
Exactly.
And so to me,
but people want to pretend. They don't want to talk about that.
And that's why
I don't want to talk about that.
But that's why I played that clip.
Hillary Clinton, we voted for Hillary Clinton. White females did not vote for her.
But that's why I played that clip.
And that is why Donald Trump is in the White House experiencing his wet dream of being president.
And
but when they want to cry and they want to knit hats, they need to think about that.
And that's why I played that clip, because some folks are going to potentially tune out Deborah from Manhattan or Gregory from Harlem saying mm-hmm. what we're saying. But I'm like, hey, I just played a clip of some white women in Florida who not in the middle of nowhere. Like, these folks got jobs. They are sitting there with CNN being interviewed, talking like not stuttering, not like not sure what they're talking about. And they literally can't even be fairly going, you know what? We should at least hear from her and him. No.
Yes.
They didn't, like, to me, if you say that, I'm like, I have no problem with you saying, oh, she made a credible accusation, and guess what? He's innocent until proven guilty. Do an investigation, then have the trial. If they would have said that, I'm like, cool, got it. That makes sense. But they didn't
but
say that.
But you know
that.
What's scary, Gregory?
They're already.
These women might have a son and a daughter, right? Now, let's say, for instance, one of them has a 17-year-old son, and he does something like that. And the daughter, she has accused someone of doing the same thing to her. What would she do? Smack her and tell her to keep quiet about it?
Well, unfortunately, Deborah, there was a case recently, I think in California, where a college student got drunk and assaulted another college, a woman who went to college there with him. And he got off because the judge said they didn't want to ruin that guy's life. Right.
Right.
That, dismissive of like the fact that he assaulted a woman. They didn't want to ruin his life. And
right.
So I know folks don't want to say that every man is sexist or even every woman is sexist. But one thing I know for sure is this culture is sexist.
But they don't mind giving you a record.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was another interesting point where they go, well, he was 17. I'm like, well, I didn't see it where, depending on your skin color, 17, you want him to be an adult all of a sudden.
Right. Or you could go to war and you could fight. I mean, there have been men who have lied and said that they were older because they were going to fight for their country, and everybody thought it was wonderful. So, I mean, like, why not stand? And I heard last night that they will not allow her, they will not allow this judge to go first. They want her to go first. See, this way they can figure out what they're going to ask her.
Yeah, and they're still, and the word is that they're still trying to negotiate that all. But to your point, that is currently the stance of the Senate and the White House, is that that's the order that they want them to go in. And
this is all about Donald Trump.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
because he has the power to say yay or nay about this.
He does. And he has the power to request an investigation. And to me, again, so two things come to mind. Whenever we want to talk race, I always have to remind people, only 50 years ago, it was a crime to be black in America. Like, that's not me being exaggerating. Like, Jim Crow segregation, like, that's just factual. And unfortunately, only 27 years ago, we were in the same predicament with Clarence Thomas mm-hmm. and Anita Hill. And 27 years later, it's unfortunate, but not much has changed.
No, it has not.
I tell folks, the Me Too movement won't stop this from happening, just like it didn't stop Roy Moore. Black women stopped Roy Moore. And in this case, there's three women that will likely, if this stops, it'll be Mrs. Ford with her testimony. And Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are Republican women senators who, if they choose to vote no after the hearing, then actually he won't be confirmed. And so I'm not putting my hopes on the Me Too movement. Those three women will literally be the ones that either stop this from happening or it ends up happening.
And let's not forget who started the Me Too movement.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Let's not forget her. Let's not forget her.
Yes. Amen. So, you know, if they want to take it over like everything else, people, places, and things, this is why we have what we have. See, you're not going to have anything worthwhile because nobody wants to share. This is like getting involved in someone's marriage that has nothing to do with us, but we happen to live in the same house, so we gotta kind of like make sure that we can make the best of everything.
Yeah.
So
that's so, you know, like a lot of things, I attempt to, if possible, leave us on at least what's something folks can do. And so there's a couple things that folks can do. One is, and I normally don't say this, but in this case, I think it actually is true. If someone gets an email or a call from those pollsters asking about this, let them know how you feel, because public opinion could play a role in this. And then obviously, if anybody lives in the states of Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, those Republican women senators who could end up deciding this whole thing, call them, email them, let them know how you feel, because those two things actually could be, along with Mrs. Ford's testimony next week, be what stops this. I'm glad we got to at least air it out, and I'm sad though that I'm about to say goodbye to you for a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll be back.
Gregory.
Hey, I appreciate it always, Deborah. And we'll be back in a couple months.
Yes.
All right now.
Take care.
You too. And that was Deborah from Manhattan weighing in on this whole Ms. Ford, Ms. Kavanaugh situation, which also makes us think about when we talk about this idea of the remix, an unfortunate remix of the faces have changed, but the story, unfortunately, is somewhat the same as we go from Ms. Hill and Mr. Thomas to now Mr. Kavanaugh and Ms. Ford. Listening on Facebook Live, I see Dow chimed in. He said, hey, what's up, fam? And I said, what's up, fam? Back to you. He says, it's interesting that I can remember a day that Judge Kavanaugh would have had his nomination pulled with these type of allegations. My, how the orange guy has changed our country. Yeah, there used to be a day where a lot of things would have been disqualifying that don't seem to be that way today. With that, another comment online from Daryl who says, here's the impact. If the Senate and FBI does not clear this man of these charges, a future Congress may have to impeach that man. We'll see. Midterm elections coming up. If there's a blue wave like folks are predicting or speculating about, maybe Brett Kavanaugh and Donald Trump will be impeached. We shall see. With that, let's get to a couple other topics before we get out of here because the time is flying by. Speaking of Republicans and people being opposed to them and not wanting them in office, the un of the week, and in this case, the un of the week, the un stands for unfriending, unfamilying. You know how like on social media you can unfriend somebody, especially if you're on Facebook? Well, this story as the un of the week has to do with unfamilying. I don't think that's a word, but you know, it'll all make sense in a second. There's a story about a gentleman running for office in, and I gotta try to find the state that it's in. I want to say it's in Arizona, but there's a guy running for office, and as you would expect, he's a Republican. There's folks who are on the Democratic side of things that are opposing him. That's not new. That's not what makes this whole story the under the week. But there's people who are like, yo, we don't think this guy, and the guy's name is Representative Paul Gosar, they don't think he should get reelected to Arizona's 4th congressional district. Again, you're like, why is this under the week? That doesn't sound like any big news. There's a guy running for office to be reelected. He's a Republican. There's Democrats opposing him. And Gregory, why are you talking about that? And so this is what I'm talking about. This is an ad that's been played about don't reelect Paul Gosar. And it all makes sense why I call this the under the week and it's unfamily.
We got to stand up for our good name. This is not who we are.
It's intervention time. And intervention time means that you go to vote and you go to vote Paul out. My name is Tim Gosar.
My name is Jennifer Gosar.
Gaston Gosar.
Joan Gosar.
Grace Gosar.
David Gosar.
Paul Gosar is my brother.
My brother.
My brother. And I endorse Dr. Brill.
Dr. Brill.
Dr. Brill.
And I wholeheartedly endorse Dr. David Brill for Congress.
I'm Dr. David Brill, and I approve this message.
Paul Gosar is my brother, is my brother, is my brother. And I don't mean brother like, shout out to Daryl, when I'd be like, oh, that's my brother from another mother, or I was just on the show, Let Your Voice Be Heard. I'm like, yo, that's my brother Stanley. I don't mean brother or brother. Those people just said that's my brother, and they meant like blood brother. Those were six of Paul Gosar's nine siblings running an attack ad saying, yo, don't mess with my family. Don't put my brother back in office. We are against him. And I say to you out there, underdogs, I'm an only child, so I can't truly, totally relate to this, but man, how bad does it have to be that you record a commercial to tell folks that they should not vote for your sibling? And so my question is, underdogs, for the under the week here related to this topic of unfamilying or unfriending, would you actually run an attack ad against your sibling if they were running for office? I could see if you would tell some friends or do some campaigning, but would you literally record an attack ad saying, yo, we not down with him like that anymore, or down with her like that anymore? I just found it to be a bit of a, I don't know, weak. We don't Republicans in office so bad that even family members, not just one sibling, six out of nine. That's, I don't know what percent that is offhand. That's 2/3, like 67% of his siblings are like, no, we're against them. I don't know. Let me know, Underdog. Dow says, how bad of a meal did Paul Gosar prepare at Christmas that the siblings are telling the people not to vote for him? I don't know. He must have done something very, very bad, because that's a lot. Six of your siblings recording a TV spot. I mean, that's the. Yeah, this is the remix. Come on now. All right. With that, let's get to the big finish of the show. Speaking of remixes, I want to talk quickly about, in the context of the Swagger Back Commandments, how we get our special stuff back as underdogs, especially in today's society and culture. And I want to share this clip. It was from Shannon Sharp on the show Undisputed. He was actually talking about Colin Kaepernick and his comeback, but I want to just make it a more broader context. And this was the clip.
We want to be a part of this. We want to be on the right side of history. Sometimes, Skip, when you feel you've been buried, you've actually been planted.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, Shannon. The remix. The original version is, sometimes, for me personally, for you, it feels like we've been buried. Stuff is piling on. Challenging times. Some of us might have felt like we were buried this summer. And now we're, you know, headed into fall, new season, hopefully a fresh start, where actually what might have been happening is that we were just being planted for some new growth. So shout out to all the folks who may have had a challenging summer. Hopefully you're going to remix that challenging time to not feeling like you were buried, but actually feeling like you've been planted. And then I want to tie that into even the fact that, you know, this show and the station is going to be closed for renovation for 2 months. And it feels like bad news. And that's the original story that played over my head when I heard the news. I'm like, man, 90 times. This is how I spend my Sundays every week, connecting with you out there. This is like a bad thing. And then I had to put the little remix on it that says, it's an opportunity for the next 2 months to write more. I've been working on some articles, working on my first book. It's an opportunity for me to do some live events, which I've never done. And so I'm actually working on planning the first ever Underdog Stuff Swagger Back Series live event coming in November. So what felt like bad news about not being able to be here with you every Sunday, I've attempted to remix it into a positive outlook of what are some of the things that I get to do that help me live out my calling of exploring how as underdogs we get our swagger back in today's society and culture. And so with that, if you want to stay in touch, follow what's going on with me and with the show and with Underdog Stuff, go to GregoryNeesmith.com. Go to GregoryNeesmith.com, GregoryNeesmith.com, and press the subscribe button. Leave your email and name so you can be on the weekly newsletter. Also, I update new content and things there. And that way we'll be able to stay connected. And my social media links are all on there too at GregoryNeesmith.com. With that, I also want to just say thank you. We've been doing this for almost 90 weeks in a row, and we're going to have this little hiatus, but we wouldn't have gotten here without each other. And so shout out to folks like Deborah from Manhattan, Tanya from Harlem, Jane from Harlem, Trisha from the Bronx, Daryl from my hometown, City of Brotherly Love, and to all the folks that continue to watch, listen to live show, and also those who download the podcast, which, by the way, the podcast is approaching almost 20,000 downloads since we launched it last year, which is still leaves me speechless and excited all at the same time. So with that, two quick stories to close out the show, because I said we're going to talk about them, right? I said Clarence Thomas. I said we talked sibling rivalries, which we did, but now let's talk burgers and hip hop. Just one quick story. I don't know if you heard it or not, but here's a remix. White Castle, which is known for selling beef, selling burgers. They're remixing things. They're actually going to launch or have launched a new plant-based burger by the company called Impossible Foods. And these burgers, I've had one before. They taste almost like a real burger, but they're plant-based. And so think about that. remixing an American tradition of burger and fries, and White Castle is now remixing that with a plant-based burger. And the word is, in any store that's been carrying it so far, folks have been loving it. The market share of stores that have this Impossible Burger on the menu have been astronomically higher than the stores that don't have it yet. So talk about a remix, right? Still enjoying something you love like a burger, but the remix of health and wellness mixed in, and the remix of Wu-Tang, because I've heard the marketing campaign is going to include Ghostface Killah and RZA from Wu-Tang will also be helping the launch and promote this whole thing with like some free concerts and White Castles and stuff like that. So talk about remixing stuff from burgers to plant-based burgers from all places, White Castle. A little shocking, but I love it. I love a good remix and twist on things, right? Who doesn't love a
it's the remix, God dang it, don't get no better.
Remix.
Y'all suckers and busters being fly too, yeah. Too. You better get up.
Remix. So shout out to White Castle and Wu-Tang and Impossible Burger. And with that, we'll close the show. That was really the unconventional news of the week. Now we'll close the show with, as always, the underdog spotlight. And, you know, normally I spotlight a person, but this time I'm going to spotlight a thing, a genre, something. And what I want to spotlight is hip hop, right? I love some hip hop. And I want to spotlight hip hop. It's been an influence to me, right? You think about the 10 Swagger Back Commandments, what I've been working on, which is influenced by the title of the 10 Crack Commandments, although my Swagger Back Commandments don't involve crack, but you know, you get it. Little hip hop reference there. Also, obviously today's show named The Remix, inspired by, you know, hip hop.
Yeah, this is The Remix. Come on now.
So hip hop is something that I grew up loving and still love to this day. And the reason why I want to spotlight hip hop to end the show is that it was reported by Nielsen, which does tracking of music sales and consumption. And so finally, all the data's in. And in 2017, hip hop beat out rock for the most popular music genre in the US. 7 out of 10 top 10 consumed albums were hip hop, and 8 out of the 10 artists for 2007 came from hip hop. The growth of the genre was caused by a 72% increase in on-demand audio streaming, and folks like Drake, Mr. Do Right and Kill Everything, and Kendrick Lamar, Mr. M. Dot Kendrick Lamar, were two of the folks that were the catalyst for this. So shout out to hip hop. And we're in New York City, and we're in Harlem. And of course, New York City, I believe the Bronx, the birth of hip hop. So shout out to the city, shout out to the genre, and shout out to all the folks that grew up on it and still love it to this day. But with that, we've come to the end of episode 90, The Remix. Also, shout out to the station WHER for giving me a platform to be able to explore how underdogs rediscover our special stuff. Like I said, we're going to go on a hiatus for 2 months during the renovations of the station. And then we come back, we're going to be bigger and badder. In the meantime, go to gregorynesmith.com, click the subscribe button to get the newsletter, and also stay up to date on the stuff I'll be up to when I'm not on the station for the next couple of months. Also, shout out to all the people who listen today. Daryl, Tony, Daniel. I see Ms. Martinez has checked in. Hello to you too. And to all the folks who called in. Deborah, always appreciate you. Tanya, James, all the folks. We wouldn't be here without you. We'll be back in a couple months. With that, also shout out to the live show producer, Megan, to the podcast editor, Kayla. And if you missed any of today's show, the podcast will be available tomorrow, Monday morning. Go to gregorynesmith.com or go to thegregorynesmithshow.com. And if you don't want to go there, it's all good. You can go to Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, Spotify, and search The Gregory Neesmith Show. And if you want to work together, you know how to reach me, The Gregory. You can go to gregorynesmith.com. With that, I'm going to end the show how I end every show, and I can't believe it. I'm a little emotional. Like, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. And so I'm going to end the show like I've ended the 89 shows before with my favorite quote. And before I say that, I just want to say I'm grateful for what we've been able to do together 90 times, and I can't wait to come back after the holidays or around the holidays and do the 91st, 92nd, 93rd, and keep this thing going. With that, I'm going to end today's show with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.